The following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
There's a man named Ron Gorman. Many, I'm sure, recognize the last name. Ron is the president of Gorman Lumber and actually one of the guys who lost, I guess, his home in the fires. And interesting, you know, we're just a little bit away from the Olympics. And the Olympics is this very traditional event, of course, world event, where there's this tradition of the torch that gets passed all the way along through many, many, many hands, people that are chosen. Ron Gorman is one of them. And so at 62 years old, he is going to be one of the people that actually carry the torch. It's a pretty interesting picture. He's a pretty humble man. I read just a little on the news, and he'd been told actually in August, and people are just finding out now that actually he is going to do this. In fact, I guess it came up in a conversation where somebody asked him, are you going to be going to the Olympics? And I guess some people in the business and even his father finally heard his son, Ron, then say, actually, I'm going to be carrying the torch. They go, what? How come you didn't tell us? And so that's a fairly significant thing, obviously, for the Gorman family. Reason I bring that up is that's what we really want to talk about this morning. And it's a story where there's something within the heart of God that he calls us to be torch passers. And if you think about it, you know, we've been in this series on the epic journey, the story of God. And the story of God really begins, you know, with the creation, and we looked at that. But there's something about the whole heart and the mission of God that it just gets passed down from Abraham. He passes the torch to Isaac. And Isaac, he takes that torch and he passes it, doesn't he? He passes it to Jacob. And Jacob, he passes it, you know, to Joseph. And it just gets passed on to David. And we have this epic journey. These torches that are just being passed from actual person to person. And so this morning we're going to be looking at a pretty cool example of this. Last week we looked at a man named Elijah. And Elijah does a fantastic job of passing the torch to a man named Elijah. And Elijah passes it to Elijah. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. It's a very, you know, bizarre story in many ways, but I just really long for us to capture what it is that was at the heart of God and how it gets demonstrated in these two men and how it really calls each of us to be torch passers as well. And so before we do that, I'd like to pray. And then we'll open our Bibles and we'll see what we can learn. Lord, right now I just, again, as always, just pray. You just empty me of myself and words that would be not helpful. God, may you speak to us through your story. And may we understand how it is that you've called us to enter into it. And how exciting a life that really is, once we agree to engage, once we agree to surrender. And God, that's what I pray. Open our minds, open our hearts now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this whole mission of God, that's what we want to talk about. And he passes it on into people's hand, and they are to walk and run with this. And so the thing about this whole torch-passing thing is that it's a real risky business. Because as you see, one generation can just snuff out the torch. Can you imagine with the Olympics? I mean, if Ron Gorman trips and falls and the thing goes out, that's a problem. The whole tradition is that the flame not go out. What do you do if the flame goes out? I think they have got to start from Greece again. I don't know what they do. I would not want to be a person where the flame goes out. You don't want a bad pass. The flame cannot go out. And if you think about the mission of God, it's one generation away. It's fairly significant when you think about it. And that's the way God wanted it. It's weighty. So, last week, let's go back to the story. Elijah, he hit a real low point. We'll just kind of bring you up to speed. Elijah is aging and he's hit a low point. He's confused. There's something that's just, it's been a hard journey for the man. And we pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to start at verse 15. We looked at a couple of these verses last week. Just kind of pick it up from there and then we'll move forward. It says in verse 15 of 1 Kings 19. And the Lord said to Elijah at his low point, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. God has a purpose for him. I want you to do this, Elijah. You know you're not feeling great about the way things are going, but this is what I want you to do. Verse 16, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. That's an interesting assignment. God is saying, Elijah, I actually got your replacement picked out for you. I want you to be a torch passer to this person named Elijah. How would that have felt? How would it have felt to have a younger person picked out and they're going to take your place? That's what's going on. Verse 19. So he departed from there and he found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. What's that mean? Basically, in that day, you throw your jacket around somebody. It's an invitation. It's a request. It's a, why don't you strongly consider leaving everything that you're doing and be about what it is that I'm about. And in this case, it was the mission of God. It was about advancing God's kingdom in a broken, lost world. Verse 20. And he left the oxen and he ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother and then I will follow you. And he said to them, go back again, for what have I done to you? So here's what's going on. Elijah is watching farmers work. And they're busy doing what farmers do. And he comes by this man named Elijah. He throws his cloak, throws his mantle. He does this invitation. It's a very significant symbol of, I want you to follow me. I want to disciple you. Will you follow me and allow this whole thing to take place? How many oxen are there? Well, we're told there's 12 teams. There's two in a team. How many oxen altogether, somebody? 24. That's a lot of oxen. That would be very much representing a wealthy farmer. That's a big dog farm operation when you've got that kind of horsepower, oxen power. There's 24 of them. So what we know is for Elijah to actually do what it is that he's been invited to do, that's sacrifice. I mean, there's a big letting go. It's not like one or two. It's 24. And that's a big deal. Now, it would have been really easy, don't you think, if you were Elijah, to just say, you know what, I'm not sure. The guy's not going to say yes. Look what he's got. He's got it made. I don't even know if I want to put my cloak around the guy. Look what he's got. Great operation. And I tell you, friends, honestly, I think that there's something about this that we have to just be comfortable with, and that is, I tell myself this often, and that is, I don't ever want to say somebody's no for them. You know what I mean by that? Sometimes there's the most bizarre, sacrificial, you know, engaging on something, and you feel prompted. There's somebody that comes to mind, and you wonder if you should ask. You wonder if you should explain. You wonder if you should present, but you go, look at them. They're so busy. family, job pressures. And what we end up doing is we say their no for them. We don't know what God is up to. We do not know what is stirring within the heart of a person. Greg and Becky, they felt so compelled. I've known Greg and Becky for a long time. They're not like they lack stuff to do. But there was a day when somebody presented that and they said yes. Wouldn't it have been easy for... No, I'm not going to ask Greg and Becky. They're busy, young family. I mean, friends, we can't say somebody's no for them. And I like Elijah here because he doesn't either. And so Elijah says yes, steps up, and I mean, he burns every bridge that he can burn, which in this case is, listen to verse 21. He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, sacrificed them, boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and he went after Elijah and he assisted them. I mean, he just says, this is exactly what God wants me to do. 24 oxen, we're throwing a big party. There's no turning back. Day two after he changed his mind, the ox are gone. They had ox burgers. It's over. And they are now on a mission. And he's committed to it. It's quite an amazing thing. When you look for somebody to pass the torch to, don't say they're no for them. When you wonder about the story and you think, boy, you know, I wonder how this whole thing is going to go. Elijah, this man that's been in, you know, the ministry for so long and amazing things that God has done. We talked about that last week. And now this younger Elijah is coming alongside. How's that relationship going to go? How's that friendship going to go? Is there going to be jealousy? Is there going to be, how is that going to go? These two men walking together. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elijah were on their way from Gilgal. Things, friends, listen, they're just about to change right now. Listen, verse 2. And Elijah said to Elijah, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elijah says, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Elijah is trying to shake Elijah off. He's just trying to just kind of see what is it all about. And I just love Elijah's response. He just proves his loyalty, proves his friendship, just proves it's just, he says, I am not going anywhere. Where you go, I'm going. If you stay, I'm staying. I'm not leaving. I'm for you, I'm with you, I'm not leaving you. Verse 8, then Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, struck the water. Water was parted to one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. It's pretty cool, eh? When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elijah said, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. This is a great question for torch passers. This is a great question for those of us that we want to just empower, equip. What is it that you want me to do for you? And this is a very interesting response because Elijah says, you know, I want a double portion. And it sounds like, doesn't it? It sounds like he wants twice as much of whatever Elijah had. But actually, I think what's going on here, it's just classic Old Testament inheritance laws. And that is, an elder son would receive what they called a double portion. In other words, what Elijah is simply asking for, I just want to be your heir. Pass me the torch. Pass me the torch. It's like Elijah saying, I've seen how you love God. I've seen how you love people. I've seen it. And it is so compelling to me. It's the way that you live your life. I want to be like that. But I also know my own weaknesses, and I know that there's just no way that I can do this on my own. I need God's Spirit. I need the Spirit that was on you to rest. I just want to be your heir. I want to live like you lived. I want to live in a way that is right. And that's exactly the right answer, isn't it? And Elijah says, okay, I finally met someone who believes this to their toes as much as I do. Verse 10. And he said, you've asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Now just imagine this, friends. Imagine that moment. He sees it. What did Elijah say? If you see me being taken, you'll receive the very thing you've requested. And at that moment, Elijah knows that his work will carry on. But also at that moment, he knows he'll never see his mentor again. And he just takes his clothes, just rips them. And he's grief-stricken. It's kind of a bittersweet moment when you agree. Verse 13. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And it was at that moment the torch just got passed. Everything's changed. Everything's going to be different. Verse 14, he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elijah went over. This guy just lives an extraordinary life. I see so many snapshots of how it is that God used this man, simple man, just a person like you and I, that somebody passed the torch to which I ask, you know, I want to reflect on the people that have passed the torch to me. You know, if you think about it, for all of us, people have passed torches to us. They've invested in us. They've loved us in spite of how screwed up we are. Isn't that true? When you really think about it, we've had people love us, invest in us. And I wonder if we've really pondered and had a heart of gratitude for those people that have actually done that for us, for me. Here's a couple of snapshots just to give you an idea of how God uses this man. And then we'll have a call as to what that then means to us. There's one snapshot I love. It's in chapter 4, 2 Kings. It's verse 38. There's a famine in the land. There's hardly any food. It's a real problem. And listen to what happens. And Elijah came again to Gilgal when there was a famine in the land. As the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, he said to his servant, set on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. One of them went out into the field to gather herbs, found a wild vine, gathered from it in his lap full of wild gourds, came and cut them into the pot of stew, not knowing what they were. Something I'd do. And they poured out some of for the men to eat, but while they were eating of the stew, they cried out, O man of God, there is death in the pot. That's exactly what I would do. And so they could not eat it. It was poisonous. It was going to kill the people. This is bad stew. And what happens is, Elijah's made known of this. He says, just grab some flour, throw it in there, mix it up, eat away, boys. We're going to be fine. It's crazy. In the company of these prophets, Elijah passes the torch. Powerful, isn't it? Listen to this one. This is in chapter 6. What's going on here is Elijah, he's just He's just able to tell what is going on. There's enemies of Israel that are trying to take Israel out. And Elijah just knows the war strategies before they're actually able to do them. In other words, you know, he knows, okay, well, the enemy's going to try this. So then Elijah goes to the king of Israel and says, hey, by the way, this is what they're going to do. And they just set up for it. And I mean, there's no way that the enemy can take him out. This is frustrating the king so much. Listen to this, chapter 6, verse 11. The mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. Well, I'd say so. And he called his servants and he said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? The king is thinking, there's a traitor right in my own house that is telling them what it is we're going to do. Who is it? Somebody tell me. Verse 12, and one of his servants said, none of us, Lord. O king, but Elijah the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. He said, go and see where he is that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and they surrounded the city. Here, get this. A whole army is sent for one man. Like the whole deal gets launched for one guy. I mean, that's a crazy picture to me. Verse 15. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out. Now, this is the guy that's assisting Elijah now. Elijah's passing the torch on to this younger guy. Him, he gets up early. He has his coffee. He opens the door. And then, voila, he sees an army with horses and chariots. They're all over the city. And the servant said, yikes. What are we going to do? He said, do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So Elijah prays and says, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. God was so strongly present. And this servant now sees it. He knows he's not alone. Elijah's seen this before. And then this is a cool thing. Elijah prays that all of the enemies that want to take him out, just make them blind. So God does. All of the armies that want to take out Elijah, they are all blind. Listen to this. It's cool. So in verse 19, Elijah says to them, this is not the way, boys. I know you're looking for this man. Let me help you. It's over here. He says, this is not the way. This is not the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. Now, this is interesting. Well, let me read on. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elijah said, oh, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the middle of Samaria. This is kind of like leading a Calgary Flames fan, blindfold them, and stick them right in the middle of a Canucks game. Red shirt, paint face, everything else. And they're just in the presence of their enemies. And they didn't even know it. Like, is there a bunch of Calgary fans here or what? Come on. Where's the Canuck fans around here? Just me. Okay, well, maybe it's me being brought to the Calgary Flames game. But he's just so skillfully led this whole thing in the heart of enemy territory. And then he prays, God, open their eyes. Oh, no. Listen to this. So then, verse 21, as soon as the king of Israel saw them, he says to Elijah, my father, shall I strike them down? Shall I take them out? Shall I take their heads off? He answered, you shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread, listen friends, set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and so that they can go their way to their master. So, verse 23, they prepared for them a great feast. I love this. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away.
And they went to their master, and the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. Elijah likes the barbecue. And he sets a party up for the people, the very people that want to kill him. There's just something so right about that torch passer. And this all happened because of a prophet who stopped by and saw a farmer in a field, threw his cloak over him, and he just passed him the torch. And he just calls him to this dream that God has. You know, will you just be a torch passer? Who's passed you a torch? Who's invested in you? And maybe another question would be, who are you investing in? Are you a torch passer? Is there someone that comes to mind? You know, it's an interesting thing as we think of the church these days. I want to show a clip in a moment. And there's something that is really stirring in us as a church these days. And this is what it is. We need to figure out how it is that we as a people can be very intentional in being torch passers. The church is busy about a lot of different things. For some reason, it's in this area that we just have not done well. And maybe it's because of the focus that churches tend to take, what churches tend to do, what churches tend to put the resources in. Because quite honestly, you know, we oftentimes think that, you know, what we're doing here today, that's kind of it. You know, you got a guy like me up here talking head, you know, open the Bible, good, you know, we're in the Bible. But we're missing something so key. Have a look at this, and I'll just have some comments on the back end of it. Sometimes our language gets us into trouble, and we say, you know, we're going to church. Friends, we are the church. People are a church. And I just want to take a moment to just give us something to think about as the worship team comes up here, and that is, you know, some of the statements that we say around here, you know, is love Jesus. You know, we really want to be about that. And the church ought to be about that. The people ought to be about that. But oftentimes, what this looks like is, you know, there's teaching, and that's good. There's singing, and we're going to do that in a moment, and that's good. But oftentimes, wouldn't you agree? You know, the guy driving around in the car, like that's what he was in, and he's frustrated in his soul because it doesn't feel like it's complete. It doesn't feel like it's enough. And so we also say around here, you know, we have to love people. You know, these are really the words of Jesus. You know, he says, love God, all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbors, yourself. You have to love people. And the key thing here is just simply understanding, like, who are we walking with? Who are we doing, you know, life with in such a way that, you know, I can actually feel known, feel loved, and from people to actually tell me the truth about myself. We all have flaws, friends. We get a little uncomfortable with this one, but we're working toward that in this church. We have to really, you know, raise the bar on this one too. Here's the one that I'm most troubled about. And this is when we say love mission. And there's a lot of confusion around what that means. The point is simply this. This one is where churches spend their resources. Pastors preach. There's a lot of stuff that takes place here, and that is good. We want to love our God. We want to come together. But there's so much more when we're really aware of what it is that God has for torch passers. And when we think about what our life is like from Monday through Saturday. The kingdom of God is near. Jesus says these words in John 20, verse 21. As the Father sent me, tell me what he says. So I, we've lost this. That's why I did it in red. It's important, friends. And as a church, we are really praying through as we get clear in our heads, clear in our hearts. But we have got to bring this into the way that we do life. And as a torch passer, there's really no option. If we really want to be obedient to what it is that God has called us to, oh, we've got to understand. We've got to see what happened in the story of Elijah. And what did he do for that young man, Elijah? And reflect to what it is that people did for you and what people did for me. I mean, they came alongside skin to skin. They said words to us. I'll never forget. There were some kind people in my life. And they called more out of me than I ever imagined that I could do. In fact, the theme was, and the statement was stated by three different individuals, Mike, do not settle for second best. That's the phrase. It was loaded with meaning. It was a torch passer in my life. Who is it for you? And more than that, who is it that you're investing in? Who is it that you're passing the torch to? And who is it that you're just trying to point to Jesus? Who is it? Because we're called to that. I want to pray. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to sing. We're going to sing because the words we're going to sing are words of truth. And there's just something good for our heads to hear us say words of truth. And we just pray that it leaks like about 6 inches down to our heart. So it becomes a part of who we want to be as a person. We're going to take an offering as well. I want to pray over that. And here's why it's important that we do an offering. Way more than the money thing. A torch passer understands that when we come to God, we come prepared to give. For God so loved the world that he gave. My Father sent me, so I send you to give. We should always come prepared. Always come prepared to give to our great God. Way more than money. So let me pray, and after I pray, the ushers just come forward, we'll take an offering. But I just pray that your heart would just align now with some truths that we sing. And so, Father, right now, we thank you for the story of this couple of guys. And we're just so obedient to you. What an example of a torch being passed. I pray, God, that those of us in this room, we'd understand really, really clearly what's going on here. We'd understand what it is you're asking of us. I mean, Elijah, he barbecued 24 oxen. He just knew. He just knew. That's what you wanted him to do. And he wanted his life to be about that for the rest of his life. God, would you get a hold of our attention? Would you allow us as Christians to know we are the church? And the church is only functioning right when we rub up alongside of people, when we take out our table and we put a meal on it and we're in the poorest of the poor areas, or we're, you know, in areas where typically we don't even think that it counts to be a witness for you, but it does. May our lives count that way. I pray, God, that the words that we've looked at in this message would land on soft hearts. Take this offering too, Lord, as we give to you. Would you just use it for your purposes? May we as a people be wise in how we steward that, Lord. I pray this in your good name, Jesus. Amen.